In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For the Christian, there are fewer longings that are greater than the longing to see the face of our God. I've heard this expressed often, most especially by our shut-in members, those who are near death, who have lived many decades on this earth, who are ready to see Jesus. In the Bible, we have many examples. Moses is a wonderful example in this point. For instance, in Exodus chapter 33, Moses asks to see God's glory. Moses had already contended with the people of Israel, and he'd contended for them, and he longed to be refreshed by a vision of God's glory. Moses wanted to be certain that he and the people of Israel had indeed found favor in the sight of God. And so in response to Moses' request, God promised that his presence would go with the Israelites in their journey. God said it was his very presence with his people that would make them sure that they were a unique people, a distinct people who had found favor in God's eyes, a chosen people from among all of the peoples of the earth. And it was at this point that Moses puts the question to God, "Please show me your glory." It was then God made a promise to Moses, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on a rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." The wonderful thing about this desire is that we also have a beautiful example in our Lord Jesus Christ. He shows us that this desire is good, right, and salutary, especially in times of suffering. For instance, Jesus prays Psalm 22 from the cross. We hear him say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This he said after the sun was darkened, indicating that God had hidden his face from the suffering and dying Jesus. In his suffering, Jesus longed to be strengthened by seeing the face of God. And so it is with us, especially in this time of our suffering. But before we can actually see the face of God, we must be conformed to this sad image of the suffering Jesus. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." We have to suffer with the suffering Christ. We must also be crucified with the crucified Christ if we otherwise are to be glorified with Christ and to see the face of God. We see this both from Scripture and from our own experience. St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, for instance, that he was given no rest during his journey to Macedonia, facing affliction at every turn, fighting his enemies on the outside, and fighting fear on the inside. Is this not the life of the Christian? Jesus even tells us, he actually promises us, that there will be suffering in this life. We do not know yet what kind of suffering our current crisis will unleash. I've already heard estimates that about 20% of our nation's hourly workers are without jobs, without pay. I know this discussion is happening in our schools. and other local businesses too. We talked about it at the library board last night. Our death toll is expected to rise, and we are anticipating, even at our hospital over in Seymour, a serious shock to our healthcare system. And Christians are not going to be exempt from this. So what should we do? Dear people loved by God, let us follow our Lord Jesus, not just in his suffering, but also in his example. Let us, like Moses, seek to behold the face of God and his glory. So first, let us long for fresh and pure water, as the psalm declares, like a deer panting for flowing streams. Psalm 68 calls the scriptures the pure fountain of Israel. Psalm 46 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Isaiah sings, with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. The pure water that the scriptures are talking about is the Bible itself. With this fountain, the parched and suffering soul is able to refresh itself, for there is no anxiety, no persecution, no tribulation so huge or unusual that a person cannot find comfort against it in the sacred scriptures. This is why Jesus likens the work of the Holy Spirit to streams of living waters. St. John records our Lord saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit. And so anyone who clings to God's word, despite persecution and anxiety and tribulation, will find refreshment, true refreshment, in the Holy Spirit, so that his thirsty soul will be able to drink. Second, our text for tonight tells us to cry out to God in prayer. The deer pants for water, so also does the Christian soul. When Moses was standing on the shore of the Red Sea, blocked from going forward and being pursued by the Egyptian armies, he cried out to God for help. From this, we see that a believing prayer to God is a cry, even if we speak it only in our hearts. Therefore, every soul should turn to God in prayer in every time of need. God says in the Psalms, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. In the Old Testament, the people of God had to enter into the tabernacle of the covenant, where then they could address God and hear from him as Moses instructed. But now, in the New Testament, we have far greater access to our God, for Christ dwells in our hearts, as St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3. So when these times, or any times of misfortune befall us, we can enter not into the chambers of the tabernacle, but into the chambers of our heart and cling to our God in prayer. In this, God strengthens us. David says in Psalm 138, on the day I called, you answered me, my soul you strengthened. This is one of the reasons that we know that our prayers are heard, because God makes such promises as these. Now there's an objection, of course, that this cannot possibly be true. The argument usually goes something like this, at least in my own mind. If God has promised to answer my prayers, why am I still facing so much trial and suffering in this life? But God has promised not to end our suffering this side of glory, but instead he's promised to give us strength to endure it. This is like when a child calls for mom in the middle of the night because of a bad dream, because he's afraid of a storm. Mom comes and consoles the child and reassures him. This is how it is with us and God when we cry to him. Just as Christ prayed until great drops of blood fell from his brow in the Garden of Gethsemane, we can urgently call upon God, and he will hear and he will answer. Jesus says in Matthew 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." These words are eternal truth, and God cannot deny himself, and he cannot go back on his promises. Lastly, the soul that is panting after God should look through the lens of the cross and our suffering to the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. For now, God's face does shine on us. I want you to consider the benediction that we heard just on Sunday. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance, another word for his gaze upon you, and give you his peace. This is a blessing and a promise that God's face does look on you in love to guard you and to sustain you. But as St. Paul says, we see now in a mirror darkly. We walk by faith right now and not by sight. But through the cross, we see the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. As the Apostle St. John says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, but what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know now that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." A time is coming, dear lambs, that you will see God face to face, not by faith, but by sight. And so, when we look to the joys and the glories of eternal life, there is no trouble so bad that we cannot endure it. St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they're passing away. But the things that are unseen are eternal." Consider the suffering of this life and then compare it with the life to come. Is there any real comparison between the two? The joys of the life to come far outweigh the sorrows of this life. Take heart, dear ones. Christ has overcome the world. And on that day, when we finally see God face to face, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. The God who sees all of your tears will take them away forever. This is how the Christian longs to see God. We see the examples of Moses and Christ urging us in our drinking deeply from the pure word of God, crying out to him in prayer, and looking forward to the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. In these things, no cross, no tribulation is too big for us. God help us to that end. In Jesus' name. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord.